Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. I'm just back from the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference in Buckhead, Georgia, put on by Franchise Update Media Group, our strategic partners here on Franchise Today. It was really a great event. Keynote speakers, Eric Qualman, author of Socialnomics, whom you've heard me mention time after time, was a great keynote speaker, put out a real interesting question that if your business didn't exist after today, would it be missed? Really eye-opening and riveting discussion. Yesterday, Kelly McDonald really gave a very powerful presentation about attracting and selling to customers that are not like us. Really a very interesting conversation. Look for more information on that on my Facebook page. Both of them have books that I highly recommend. And, of course, I want to reach back out to our friends at the Franchise Update Media Group, Steve Olson, Gary Gardner, Terry Stogan. Fantastic event, one of the best that I've attended in a long, long time. Very well represented. And if you're not yet a fan of the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference, I highly recommend it for 2014. Great event. Coming up, you know, we originally had planned for a franchisor spotlight series this summer. We had a lot of interest, a lot of people committed, but of course, as summer goes, commitments turned into cancellations and postponements and delays, and we actually had to scrap the summer series. And instead, we're revisiting this and possibly are going to do it again maybe in the fall and do it as a taped series so we can get some of the leading founders and CEOs in a busy schedule to be able to participate, and then we'll broadcast it at a different time. So right now, on the summer, as we've done for the last 3 years, we'll be on summer hiatus and replaying some of our favorite shows. So today will be the last in our fourth year. It's the last of the franchise model series. And a recap of that, going back, we started out with Ed Waller, former chair of the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference, a co-founder at CertaPros, talked about consumer marketing. We followed that up with Mark Liston of Glass Doctors, a fantastic show with respect to operations support and franchise relations. And then last week, live from London, was Robert Stidham from Franchise Dynamics as we dove into franchise sales and development. And then today, wrapping up the series, Amit Pametcha, the CEO and founder of FranConnect, will help us explore the world of technology in franchising. And as many know within the franchise community, Amit is the founder and CEO of FranConnect. It's the world's number one provider of franchise management and recruitment systems. He has personally worked with over 300 franchise organizations, helping them implement solutions for improving franchise recruitment, enhancing franchisee relationships and performance. Under his leadership, FranConnect has grown to become the world's largest technology provider to franchise systems with over 450 franchise brands as customers. He is also a frequent speaker, motivator, and strategist, helping franchise organizations find creative solutions to their complex needs. He serves on the board of the IFA Supplier Forum and is a certified franchise executive. Amit, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me over onto the show, and hello to everyone listening today.
You know, we have a lot of people leaving Atlanta on their way back from the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference, and I know we'll have a lot of people listening to this on demand, as we always do, and it's the same link as the link to the live show. And as many have seen on Facebook and Twitter, are experiencing some travel delays, as I did yesterday because of some bad weather in the area. Safe travels to all. I am still sans luggage, without my luggage. US Airways said it will be here sometime today, so hopefully everybody has a better experience than my travel experience. And I know, Amit, You travel quite frequently. Tell us a little bit about your background and what led you into franchising.
So that's a great question, Paul. You know, it's funny how a lot of us end up in franchising. Our story actually goes back about 13 years. You know, my background, you know, I'm an engineer. I was, you know, a PhD candidate at Johns Hopkins doing work in robotics. And then when the dot-com revolution came on, you know, I kind of looked at all the possibilities in IT and said, this is where I want to be and be an entrepreneur. And FranConnect happened to be my second startup. And in trying to actually look at franchising, you know, it was completely accidental. We essentially, you know, were looking for, you know, areas where some of the technologies we had could apply. And our lawyer friends at DLA Piper introduced us to franchising. And when we did a little bit more research with the IFA's help, what we discovered was that most franchisors were essentially using paper-based processes for every single thing, whether it was selling new franchises where, you know, the data was being recorded on sheets of paper, or collecting royalties where checks were coming in the mail, or managing legal records where franchisors were managing, you know, these big folders where they kept every communication and contract with the franchisees. So we thought that this is a space which is ripe for automation, and we decided to build a complete lifecycle solution or a franchise management system to help franchisors automate their processes from start to finish. Now, there were other solutions out there at that time. You know, there were companies selling intranets. There were companies that were selling CRM systems, you know, desktop-based CRM solutions. We were the first ones to come up with the franchise, the concept of a franchise management system. And the big focus was that most franchise systems are small, don't have an IT department, don't have too many resources, so you can't have multiple IT solutions running, you know, and have a complex environment out there. So having a single standardized, you know, operating system to run and manage your franchise system seemed like a no-brainer, and that was the start of our journey in 2001.
You know, it's interesting, and thanks for sharing it on it. Today, it's so hard to get many franchisors to want to jump on the technology bandwagon, if you would, and of course we know it's not a bandwagon anymore. All this technology certainly can improve their processes, their relationships, their reporting, their management, their strategic planning, etc. But even today, it's hard to get them to look twice at certain technology. I can't even imagine what it was like when you first started down this road in 2001. What was some of the thoughts that founders and C-level executives are having in franchise companies as you presented to them, you know, your thoughts and ideas and eventually your product and services?
You're absolutely right that, you know, change is not something that happens very rapidly in franchising. And we, you know, you probably, Paul, you know, as the leader in the social media space, you've probably seen it, you know, where even though social media and, you know, the collaborative internet world is so critical to franchise or success, we still find adoption an issue. So if we go back 12 years ago, it certainly was an even bigger issue because most C-level executives hadn't actually, you know, become aware. The education wasn't there to see what difference can technologies make to their system. They had grown through an environment or evolved through an environment where doing things in a paper-based fashion was the norm, and it really didn't connect with a lot of people that, look, you know, if we have to grow and thrive as a franchise system, we have to change our ways. So for us, the first few years were really, you know, a lot of education. We started right from day one in 2001 as a cloud-based company. And today, the cloud is the norm. I mean, no CIO or C-level executive worth their name would, you know, want to run their own operating platform. In 2001 and 2, you know, being in the cloud was, wait, you're going to put us on a plane or put us in the sky somewhere? Right?
Yeah.
So,
you're exactly right.
Right. And that education takes time. And what we did was, you know, we kind of had certain, just like with any technology, we had a few people that adopted early. And then, you know, some of those other customers have taken years to join the bandwagon because the management change wasn't there to make them adopt such systems.
Yeah, and certainly franchising has been slow to change, and I think there's a lot of good reasons why they've been slow to change. Of course, franchisors answering to franchisees is a big part of it. If they had been dealing with a supplier and a certain issue occurred and the supplier was no longer part of the system, the franchisees really didn't care who the supplier was. They turned back to the franchisor. So the franchisor looked at it and said, okay, we need to be real cautious here. And of course, you're right. I can't even begin to tell you until I was in an acquisition of a franchise company and the volume of documents and records that, of course, we know today would be based in a cloud someplace. I mean, boxes and boxes and boxes. And this was only a system with, you know, 25 or 30 locations. Couldn't even imagine what it was like back then if a system with 200 or 300 units was sold. The amount of information is just, you know, tremendous. And without it being in the cloud, or the majority of it being in the cloud with just some hard documents as backup, it's just unbelievable. And also, I mean, I remember, you know, constantly getting up from my desk and running over to a file and pulling it out and sorting through the file as opposed to it, you know, being in one centralized system. And certainly, FranConnect has captured that. It's the definitely the granddaddy of technology and franchising, at least in my opinion. It got off at the right time. It's used by some of the leading brands that are out there. So specifically, you know, what does FranConnect do, or better yet, you know, what products does it offer to the franchise community on it?
So, you know, FranConnect has also evolved over time. And when we started out with a, you know, a full life cycle franchise operating system. And that system is called FranConnect. And what that does, it manages, helps franchisee or franchisors manage, you know, the initial sale of a franchise, to, you know, help open up a new location, to manage legal and compliance data and franchisee communication history, and then more importantly, build strong franchise relationships through collaborative tools, and then help collect royalties and, you know, look at the performance data for franchisee. So that was the original start of FranConnect, and we pursued that. I mean, we're leaders in that space. And then about, 5 years ago, we added products that basically help service-based franchise systems run a point-of-sale software on the web. And these products fall under the category we call Service Connect. And what they do is help service-based franchises take the day-to-day running of a franchisee's unit onto the web so that they can access their scheduling and their data and their teams on the web using their iPads or, you know, through their laptop computers, and the franchisor has access to all that data. Then about 4 years ago, we basically came, across an interesting scenario where we were discovering that a lot of customers were leaving leads on the table. You know, Paul, how valuable franchise leads are to most franchisors. And I'm sure that Robert last week shared some ideas on, you know, how to generate valuable leads, correct?
Right, absolutely.
And what we discovered was that the number one thing that happens in franchising, anytime you advertise, you just came back from the IFE in New York 2 weeks back, and there were 400-plus franchisors there. Well, what's the one thing each of the attendees to the IFE is going to do after, you know, visiting your booth at the IFE? What they're going to do
research.
Is...
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead, please.
They're going to look for some additional research online. I mean, obviously, today's candidate is far more sophisticated than the candidates we had, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, just because of the technology out there. But even more importantly, they're more technologically advanced. And I think they're looking also at franchise brands that are as technologically advanced as they think they need to be. So they're going to go back and they're going to start looking at more and more information. They want to be able to fall within a process that moves them along to gather more information.
Absolutely. So this is really a challenge for most franchisors because they don't recognize the fact that every prospect is going to do their research. So what happens is that the way they present this information on a website, okay, is a process that hasn't evolved in the last 10 or 11 years. So what happens is that the prospect actually gets confused, doesn't really understand what the value proposition for the franchise, you know, franchisee is, and then kind of gets lost in the hundreds of web pages that are out there on the franchise opportunity website. So what we did was we came up with a system that presented this information in a way where the prospect could understand what the value proposition was and really feel excited about talking to the franchisor. And we call that the system Captivate. And essentially, when we implemented Captivate for our first 8 or 10 existing customers, what we discovered was that their lead flow went up by 50 to 400%.
Wow.
Which means, absolutely, which means that most franchisors are leaving thousands of dollars worth of leads and hundreds and thousands of dollars of closed deals on the table because they weren't good at converting people who had interest in their product, in their system, into actual leads and then finally franchisees. And Captivate helps to streamline that process so that franchisors can get more leads and more deals, you know, out of all the marketing activities that they do. So since then, Captivate has been implemented for over 100 franchise systems. Every single one of them has seen the lead flow increase and is in our opinion, is truly a revolutionary system, you know, in terms of how franchisors actually go after, you know, prospective customers. And I do want to let the listeners know that, you know, it's not, you know, some people call it a virtual brochure. It's not so much of a virtual brochure as it is a strategic approach on how to, you know, readjust your value proposition or the pitch that you are making to online prospects and help convert more of them into leads and finally franchisees. So that was I'm sorry, go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, yeah, it actually takes the candidate into a process.
Absolutely correct. So it takes the candidate into a process that, you know, completely, you know, helps to remove any doubt in the mind of the prospect as to what this franchise can do for them as well as tackle some of the issues that a prospect, you know, typically runs into when doing self-discovery.
So, Amit, I wanted to bring up a point, and I wanted to say, without going further, you know, I appreciate your kind words as far as referring to me as a leader in the social media space and franchising. I really do appreciate that. And I use a process myself, which, of course, I refer to as share, interact, engage, and then only then have you earned the right to a call to action. And I know the process behind Captivate, you know, pretty much follows that same type of a process, if you would, because you're sharing information, the candidate is interacting, they're engaging in a more meaningful conversation, and obviously the call to action is whatever the next step in the process is up to the point of actually deciding to sign the franchise agreement and remit the franchise fee. One thing I want to ask, though, within that, because as the granddaddy in franchising technology, along with that comes a stigma of being expensive. And how do you address with franchisors that look at the cost to get involved and say, I can't afford that? Because I imagine the price barrier or the price the franchisor's perception that he can't afford it. How do you address that, knowing what you know about your product and knowing what you know about how it improves or can improve franchise sales?
Well, this is a wonderful question, and I think for a lot of emerging brands as well as existing franchisors, there has always been a perception that because FranConnect offers so many solutions, it has to be very expensive. The other thing that happens is that oftentimes, you know, their neighborhood guy or a small-time IT company will offer a solution at literally zero cost, and basically say, you know, well, we are so much cheaper than FranConnect. The reality is that apples to apples, you know, I mean, one common company that we run into is Salesforce. And we are about 50% cheaper than, you know, what Salesforce charges for an equivalent solution. On top of it, no other company in the world, actually, you know, an IT company, offers 24/7, you know, dedicated account service with reps, you know, or account managers based in the U.S. So since our inception, you know, if you were a FranConnect customer and you were paying us as little as a few hundred dollars a month, you had the luxury to just pick up the phone, call us at any time of the day, and have your needs or your training situation or any other questions answered without any cost to you. You know, you try to do that with most other companies and you get a voicemail. And the reason that is there is because franchisors, we understand, are very short on staff as well as resources, and we want to make sure that they get all the help that is out there. But the best part is, Paul, is that what do you get for that money? In our system, for essentially the cost of one system, okay, let's say you were going ahead with implementing a CRM solution and Microsoft was the vendor you chose and they offered you a $30 per seat or per user fees. Well, the beauty is that with FranConnect, for the same money, you can get not just one solution, but 5, 6, or 7 solutions. So when you look at your overall cost, you are literally paying 1/7 or 1/8 of the total cost of implementing 5, 6, or 7 different systems. Now, you are absolutely correct that, you know, from a perception standpoint, unless someone actually goes, digs deeper and looks into it, it would be hard for them to understand. But the fact that we today have over 500 franchise brands including both emerging franchisors with 0 units to some of the largest companies in the world, like the UPS store or, you know, Service Master Clean or 7-Eleven, you know, H&R Block. What that shows is that it works equally well from a price standpoint, whether you are a startup franchisor or, you know, a category leader.
You know, I appreciate the fact that you talked about emerging brands as well as mature brands, because there is a misperception out there, especially by the startup and emerging brand, that they can't afford to tap into the technology necessary to take them to a new level. And from what I'm hearing from you, obviously that is a misnomer, and they can capitalize on it. And I think the big thing here is, at least, and without putting words in your mouth, but reading between the lines, is, you know, really the return on investment is certainly such that it makes it worthwhile. But yet, we know to this day, with 4,000 plus franchisors, there's a large share of them that are barely involved in technology in any way. So, in your opinion, where are most franchisors? You know, basically, what's the current state of affairs, in your opinion, in franchising technology?
It's a very interesting question, and clearly, you know, everything is a curve, because some franchisors are, you know, fully engaged. They are ahead of the rest of the pack. I'm going to speak in generic terms as to where, okay, you know, 60 to 70% of franchisors sit. And we should break this down into emerging franchisors versus, you know, mature franchisors with 50 or 100 plus units. In the emerging space, you know, we find mostly, you know, beyond the point of sale system, which gets automated and standardized because technologies have evolved, you know, you get standardization at the point of sale level, but then beyond that, franchisors are mostly working with paper-based systems. And part of that is the fact that, you know, they might be low on resources or to help implement automation, or the fact that, you know, they are so tied up with doing, you know, it's the small business myth, which is, are so tied up in doing day-to-day things that I never really see the productivity solutions that might be out there. So at an emerging level, I think, you know, if just like there are tools today where everything can be on your iPhone, you know, to increase your productivity as a small business owner, I would say that if, you know, emerging franchisors saw that opportunity and automated their processes, they're likely to grow faster. Now, on the mature side, I would put the mature franchise systems into two groups. One consists of, you know, companies that have really adopted technology in a very aggressive way and essentially adopt, you know, automated every single thing that they run across. And part of this is leadership driven. An easy example that comes to my mind is a Denver franchise concept called OxyFresh Carpet Cleaning, mm-hmm. Whose CEO, Jonathan Barnett, has, you know, essentially since the start of the franchise, made sure that he automates everything they do, from the call coming in to scheduling the you know, the service, to taking a customer feedback, to doing marketing to prospects, to managing legal records, to providing a collaborative environment to franchisees. And to be able to see that clearly, you know, when you are 30 units, it helped them grow into, you know, 250 to 300 units in less than 3 years, because the technology infrastructure was there to help them change. And on the other hand, I see several traditional franchise systems, and I've seen some sad situations where, you know, their management team has basically – had to transition out because they weren't able to deliver the performance that was required by their private equity investors or other shareholders of these mature franchise systems because they weren't able to change and automate their system.
Mm-hmm.
So in that space, where things are is that, you know, the senior leadership truly does not understand the new technologies out there, and they have relied on limited evidence to put in systems that they feel are doing the job. But you used a beautiful word called ROI, which is just putting a technology system does not mean that, you know, things will change. You have to actually track the ROI. And so these systems feel that they have checked the box on a particular technology, but they do not track the ROI. So the results are not there for them. And it's as good as, you know, basically saying that we are still working on manual processes.
We're live on Franchise Today. My guest today is Anna Pimecha, the CEO and founder of FranConnect. And we're discussing the current state of affairs in franchising technology, what franchisors should be doing to improve their technology infrastructure and taking it to the local level, the state of consumer and franchisee technology. You know, Amit, interesting, you know, as I was listening very carefully as you were breaking down the different groups and even with the mature franchises, as you broke them down into two groups, and you were talking about leadership. And I wholeheartedly agree. I was listening to the C-suite of executives at the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference from Jersey Mike's and what they've done and how they've embraced technology and it really being one of the key core elements of their franchise success. Of course, some of the others have to do with culture and giving and what have you, but technology is real, real, real strong. But as you were going through this, I was thinking, you know, there's another factor there, and I'm sure you run up against it. And certainly before I mention it, it's not to diminish cost because as executives in franchising, we always have to worry about the bottom line. We have to worry about the cost. We have to worry about, you know, the return on investment. Certainly, if we're going to do business with private equity investors, we know we need to step it up because I can't even imagine a private equity company looking at a brand that doesn't have technology in place and not just, you know, email and a couple of computers. There's the fear factor, and there's the unknown. And you mentioned a key thing as you started out in 2001 about educating them through the process. I would imagine that education may even be more important today because, unlike 2001, where it seemed like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like it was very lineal. It was a step-by-step process because we had nothing to work off of. We had files to work off of, and we moved in a very progressive direction, but it seemed to be very lineal. And all of a sudden, we hit a point where there's so many software solutions. I mean, yesterday at the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference, there had to be 50 suppliers there that were offering solutions that I think I'm pretty much at least technologically savvy as it relates to marketing and in the franchise space. I couldn't believe how many were there. And all of a sudden, I just thought, my God, what do people that have really never been exposed to this or just slightly exposed to this think? They've got to be overwhelmed. And I think that comes down to the fear factor of, A, the fear and phobia of technology in and of itself, especially with an older generation, okay, that a lot of them are in the C-suite and might not have been exposed to it. So that's number two. And number three, the perception of, or the fear, better word there, the fear of making the wrong decision and as such throwing X amount of dollars towards it only to find out 6 months later of it being the wrong one. And, of course, we often hear about that of you know, paralysis due to analysis. And, you know, so, and I know you come across that. What are your thoughts on that? The fear factor, the phobia factor, the fear of not making the investment now because it may be the wrong decision, it may be the wrong solution, it may be redundant with something else. I'm sure you come across that type of conversation very, very often.
Well, a brilliant idea in there, or a brilliant question, I would say. Okay, and the way to look at it is, you know, as follows. If we were investors or, you know, worked on Wall Street, I mean, clearly that lunch that gets auctioned with Warren Buffett, we had the money to pay for it. We would pay that $100,000 or $200,000 or $500,000 to have, you know, 2 hours one-on-one with Warren Buffett. Similarly, if I had, you know, a social media need, if I wanted to see what my company strategy should be, then I would want to reach out to you and really talk about, Paul, what's your experience? What are your suggestions? You know, what are your ideas? One of the best things about franchising is that it's an open community, and leaders that, you know, are super successful in a very short time know how to leverage this community and get out to experts. And I'm going to bring up two good examples in here. You know, one of the great success stories in the yogurt business is Menchie's. And
oh,
Menchie's was absolutely right. And when Menchie's was 30
yeah,
or 40
absolutely.
Units, what their CEO did, Amit Kleinberger, you know, he basically got the top brains in franchising, okay, to assemble in one single location in LA at his offices and essentially made them the de facto advisor or advisory board to his company in order to take his system to the next level. And whereas all other, you know, yogurt chains have kind of floundered, Menchie's has grown by a factor of 5x because all the advice that you need is available through the resources available at DiaFA. And the other good
mm-hmm.
example here is, you know, a very well-known name in franchising, Shelly Sun, the CEO and founder
mm-hmm.
of Brightstar Healthcare, who did the same thing in trying to put together the best brains in franchising and learning from them. So if I was a franchise leader, you know, and I was afraid of all these 50 solutions, I would put a group together and get them to advise me rather than be afraid about it and, you know, essentially work off of that collective wisdom and say, you know what, these guys have years and years of experience, have worked with hundreds of franchise systems. You know, they are, of course, you know, telling, you know, what would matter to us most of the time. And that's the way to move forward rather than reinvent the wheel and learn from your mistakes. You know, the reverse of this is I'm going to pick one vendor out there because they had a very slick demo or a slick presentation. It got me excited. I'm going to implement it, but they don't know much about franchising, so my franchisees don't end up adopting this. Then, you know, there's going to be, you know, all the clamor at my annual convention where the franchisees are going to say the solution doesn't work. Then I'm going to regroup, become afraid of technology, go through a year-long process of choosing another solution because we got burned once, and the cycle keeps on repeating itself.
Mm-hmm.
And my take is, do you, as a leader in this quick-moving world, do you really have the luxury to A, wait that long, or make wrong decisions just because, you know, something caught your eye, you know, for a few seconds?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Nate. As you were talking about, you know, leaders like Amit Kleinberger and Shelly Sun, two very, very successful and well-respected names within franchising. I think the first question, and I'm going to say this tongue-in-cheek, Amit, that leaders have to ask themselves is, or better yet, you know, have the notion in their mind that they don't know it all. I think that's the first hurdle that we have to get by because, you know, a lot of them, you know, feel like they know it all and don't turn to outside resources and sources within franchising. And I agree with you. You know, franchising is a very, very giving community. I haven't come across anybody in a long, long time within franchising that, you know, I haven't turned to and asked a question or asked for help or something that they haven't given their time and given it freely. And if we're not tapping into, if there are executives that are not tapping into those resources in franchising, then I say, you know, shame on you. Do so, because it's there through the IFA, through the various conferences, through the various associations, through the various, you know, franchise business networks, you know, women's franchise networks, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's enough out there, and yet there's so many that don't participate, and a lot of them think, I can't really learn anything. I know what I need to. And I'm working with a brand right now, and I won't disrespect them by stating their name and getting through it. They are so far behind the curve that I think if you and I had a private conversation about it, you would say to me, are you kidding me? They are so far behind the curve with respect to anything online, marketing, management, any type of technology, that it's absolutely hurting the brand. It's hurting the brand integrity. It's hurting franchise relationships. It's hurting communications. Ultimately, it's affecting sales. It's then affecting royalties. It's affecting franchise validation. Obviously, the chain reaction all the way up to franchise sales and development. And yet, the CEO looks at me and says, I don't know what we're doing wrong. And I think a big thing is because you can't identify what you're doing right and what you need to do in order to take your company to the next level. And I think we could have a long, long conversation about that. So, you know, one of the big things we hear about as we came out of this economic downturn, hopefully we are coming out of the economic downturn, I think all indicators are pointing in the direction that we are, comes down to unit economics. And it was, you know, have stronger franchise performance. You will get proper validation. You will attract better candidates, and you will sell more franchises. And I know that FranConnect is very big on unit economics and franchisee performance. So how can technology help with respect to unit economics and franchisee performance?
So, Paul, you're absolutely correct that today the number one thing impacting a system's growth, whether it's selling new franchises or actually increasing the royalty base, is the unit economic of an individual location, you know, or a bunch of locations if they are part of an area development system. Now, historically, franchisors have provided guidelines or advice on how to improve unit economics. The problem is that when you look at what a franchisee has to do during in a day, they literally have zero capacity or time available. I mean, if I'm a small business owner or a franchisee, I'm doing, you know, accounting, payroll, hiring, managing the franchisor, ordering supplies, you know, taking care of other issues that impact my individual location. So it leaves me very little time to think about what can, you know, make a difference. Now, franchisors come in and say, you know what, we want you to do more sales, we want you to do more marketing, we want you to kind of, you know, follow the KPIs that we show you on a dashboard, and these will all help you out to improve your, you know, store's numbers. Problem is, most franchisors are operators and not marketers. You know, marketing today has evolved from what used to be yellow pages and TV advertising to, you know, not only just Facebook and social media, but Google PPC and websites and search engines and Pinterest and Yelp reviews and customer feedback surveys. So the point is, things are changing so dramatically within the digital space that franchisees can never master all these technologies and effectively market themselves. We saw this need about 2 years ago and came up with, you know, a platform called ZCubator, That's actually our number one focus today. And what ZQBator is, it's an automated, integrated franchisee marketing platform. Okay? So what ZQBator helps do is automate the marketing aspect for franchisees. So whether it's a social media post that needs to be made or an email campaign that needs to go out or a print postcard campaign that needs to happen or a Google pay-per-click, ZQBator, you know, manages and runs that for franchisees without, you know, having them become a marketing expert. And this in turn, you know, allows the franchisee to become more confident about their marketing dollars. Today, when you ask a franchisee to spend more money on marketing, they're saying, well, you know what, show me the results. I just tried this marketing activity, you know, a year ago or 6 months ago and spent $2,000 on it, and I didn't see any results. So why should I spend more money? So what ZQBator also does is provides complete tracking of the results, you know, you get, you know, out of doing these campaigns. And we do that through, you know, personalized landing pages, personalized QR codes, personalized phone numbers that go with the campaign. So essentially, a franchisee could say, I spent $1,000 on this particular campaign. It resulted in, you know, 70 new leads, $22,000 in new business for me. And so I had this well-defined ROI out of a particular marketing activity. So that's one aspect of the unit economics problem that we have solved through this integrated marketing platform. And one great case study here is Service Master Clean with about 3,000 franchisees that has implemented ZQBator across their system to help take their franchisees, you know, to a new level from a traditional model. Now, the other side of it is a product we call PerformanceWise, and it's a tool for field managers and franchisees to work collaboratively on essentially doing actual activities or tasks that take, you know, in real time to help franchisees evolve from where they are today. So, Paul, I know that you, with your new, you know, with your new position, you're also the franchisor of several brands, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Right. And now, what happens is when you go and visit a franchisee and you give them advice, you go through an Excel sheet review of all the things that a franchisee is doing right and wrong and what actions they should take. What you then do is give that feedback back to the franchisee on, as an email or on a piece of paper, correct?
Right, yep.
And what does the franchisee do? He's very excited the day you're there to go through that review and get all these action items. But then a few days later, that's behind him because he's busy with other things. And you, the field manager, has moved to the 30 other units that you are responsible for managing.
That's correct.
So the two of you are not going to connect for another 3 months or 6 months or whenever the cycle ends, and then you're going to go through the same discussion again. So what PerformanceWise does is actually generates real-time actions for the franchisees to take and displays it to the franchisee on a day-in and day-out basis on their intranet or on their homepage and really makes the franchisee sign off on those action items. So, for example, if one of the action items is that, you know, we shall answer each phone coming in or we should have a person that would attend to these phone calls, while PerformanceWise is making the franchisees, you know, sign off to that on a daily or a weekly basis to make sure that the franchisee is following that plan. So again, you know, two solutions for unit economics, ZQBator for automating marketing, and PerformanceWise for essentially automating field support and taking actions on the plan that you lay out for the franchisee.
That's very interesting because you're exactly right. You know, once you leave, they're no longer operating or working on the business. They're working in the business. They're back in the trenches. and they're worried about, you know, some kid running into the wall or employee not showing up or whatever. And, yeah, you're right. I hear that time after time. A week later, you call up to follow up. And, oh, yeah, you know, once you left, I didn't have time to do this, that, and the other thing. And of course, the delay, a lot of good intentions, but the delay goes on and on and on. Certainly point well taken. So, as I said, you know, at the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference, really a lot of great information. It's interesting, as you know, you go through these different events and you see these different audiences, although you see some common people that, you know, the Steve Greenbaums of the world, I don't care what the conference is, he's there front and center taking notes. Truly the mark of a successful franchisor and entrepreneur. But this one, this event obviously had a lot of marketing people, so it was interesting to hear their perspective on a lot of things. And it was a lot of solutions, being software solutions being presented. And as you mentioned, you know, in today's day and age, you can get so many software solutions, you know, or small business solutions through apps on your iPhone and your iPad. And I think that obviously helps move people along because they see something on a very, very fundamental level for 99 cents and say, wow, that's pretty cool. I wonder what else is out there. And if it does nothing but whet their appetite for something bigger and better, that's great. And of course, so we see all this technology out there. I mean, there was, you know, local marketing stuff. There was social media, you know, monitoring and management. There's, as you said, you know, pay-per-click ads. There's AdWords. There's, you know, SEO. And, of course, that whole changing world. So, in your opinion, you know, what is the state of consumer and franchise and franchisee technology? You know, the dealing with, you know, social, local, and mobile that just is evolving at such a fast clip.
So my opinion is that this is, you know, too much to handle for the franchisee. Okay, each of them, just, you know, if you take social as a, you know, as a field, it requires a state-of-the-art expert to execute properly. You know, you just can't make a post on, you know, on your Facebook page, because 9 out of 10 franchisors don't even realize that when you put a post out on Facebook, you know, the likes that you have do not necessarily see that post unless it's engaging or meets the, you know, the edge rank criteria from Facebook. So the point is, whether you're doing social or local through mobile phones, you know, all of these requires deep expertise, and the franchisee is certainly not going to possess it, so you can't leave it to the franchisee to do it. And if it comes to headquarters, you know, a large system, okay, maybe if you have 1,000 units or 500 units and you have a 10-person marketing department, maybe you can afford like 3 distinct experts, one for AdWords and one for, you know, social technology and one for, you know, mobile and search. But for 90% of the franchise systems, their marketing department consists of 1 or 2 people.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to have, you know, and those people are busy with, you know, graphic design and brand identity and designing the brochures and marketing materials. So they bring in ad agencies if their budget allows them to do that. Or if it doesn't, then, you know, it's basically on your own. So to me, you know, where the future is basically in automation, okay? We strongly feel that all of these things will continue to grow. And unless the franchisors automate these tools or these activities that they are doing, you know, they're going to be left behind in certain areas and not get a complete ROI on their marketing dollars.
You know, I would like to say, give the man a cigar. I love your perspective on this. Too many do not have it that still want to put, you know, and empower franchisees in this. And, you know, of course, that was the whole theory you know, 4 or 5 years ago as social media was really being introduced and it started to pick up speed. And now it's so widespread. The whole digital marketing aspect of things is so widespread. And you're right, the franchisee just cannot handle it all. And I think more importantly, from a branding standpoint, a brand integrity standpoint, the franchisor would wind up spending more time, and I'm talking about with a big brand with, you know, 300 locations, they would have more time trying to monitor the content that was being put out there and the customer comments coming back than they would if they actually did it utilizing automation with some, obviously, some oversight. And, of course, with content management and marketing and development, so critical. I really believe what's occurring, Ahmed, and as you talked about very succinctly about, you know, the way the marketing department typically look, I really see some of these silos breaking down to the point where there really has to be this integration. And I know, of course, integration is a big word in your entire strategy as it relates to, you know, marketing solutions. But I see it occurring within franchise organizations. There's got to be integration. There's got to be operations contributing some of the content. You know, training people have to be integrating some of the content, sales and development, even to the point of how some of the legal jargon filters its way into some of the messaging there. You know, it's the ideal circumstance, at least in my mind, is, you know, some overseeing content manager that sees it all, develops it all, is able to put it into place, and then the different people that are pressing the buttons can actually, you know, take it to the target audience. So it really is a very much an evolving environment and atmosphere that's out there. And you're right. I mean, definitely right. It's going to continue to evolve. It's not going to change. It's not going to slow down. And franchise executives all across the board have got to adapt to this change, embrace it with both arms, wrap your legs totally around it, everything that you possibly can, and embrace it because it's here to stay. And Eric Qualman, the keynote speaker on Tuesday at the Franchise Consumer Marketing Conference, I've been a big fan of for several years now after I read his book, Socialnomics. And you mentioned about, you know, being in business down the road. And we talked about ROI today. And he says basically the ROI on everything digital and everything social and everything technology is that you will be in business 5 years from now. That's the ROI.
That's a great point. You know, many people, when building their strategic plan, you know, only look at the financial side of the business, do not look at the overall changing landscape, both in technology as well as, you know, how the competition is coming up. And, you know, so the best laid plans kind of can go astray if you do not take the ROI and the technology changes that impact you into account.
Yeah. It's a changing world. You've embraced it, Friend Connected. Great information that's out there, great information shared with our audience today, Ahmed. I know you've got a very, very busy schedule, so I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day, out of your work schedule to participate on Franchise Today. It's been long overdue, but I think today was just that perfect topic to have you on the show. Thank you again.
Paul, thank you so much for having me over on the call and, you know, some great insight from you as well as some real practical example. And, you know, I want to wish all the listeners a great summer. And again, you know, if anybody ever has a technology question, you know, as friends, we always have time for each other, so they can all reach me at amit@franconnect.com.
I appreciate that. And, yes, everybody, I wish you a great summer as well. We'll be back live on September 12th, and September will be consumer, or actually will be Political Action Month. It will be Government Affairs Month. It'll be Franchising and Giving Month. So that aspect of franchising that we know and love, we'll also have some special events during the summer. So anyway, until then, my name is Paul Segreto, wishing you the best, the very best in this great, great thing we call franchising. Franchise Today is out.